Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, unto whom every heart is open and unto whom each and every desire is known. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in this wonderful Sunday night that we have the privilege of again gathering together here at the Way International. Thank you, Father, for all the different cores, the senior cores that are intact. Thank you for the members of the fifth core. Thank you for our WOWs that are being trained in Venezuela. And we surely love you, Father, for the greatness of your love wherewith you loved us. Thank you for all of our wonderful WOWs and all of those beautiful trees on the leaves on the wonderful tree of life. Thank you for our core all over the nations. And Father, may this be a night of great rejoicing and thanksgiving for our children, our young people, and our adults. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. God bless. You may be seated, please.
We have so much to be thankful for in this ministry, to see the calling that God has called us to and the blessings that He's placed upon our lives every day. We surely have to admit that we are in His care.
One day I was walking down that lonesome road. My Lord spoke unto me,
Lord, and
lightened my heavy load. One day I was
walking
down that lonesome road. I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care.
Oh, oh,
in my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care. I'm in His care. My Lord, I put His arms around me, no evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care.
Well, old Daniel, he was a good man,
Lordy, and he prayed.
Prayed three times a day. The angels opened up the windows
only
just to hear what Daniel had to say. Daniel, he was a good man,
Lordy, and he prayed.
Prayed three times a day. Daniel knew that he was in His care. In His care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care.
Oh, oh,
in my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care. I'm in His care. My Lord, I put His arms around me, no evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care. My Lord, I put His arms around me, no evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care. I am in His care. In my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care. I'm in His care. My Lord, I put His arms around me, no evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care.
Thank you. May be seated. Thank you, Walter and Dorothy and Rhoda. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Isaiah 36, please. Tonight, heart realities for all believers. Basically, what man's soul has always longed for, what his heart has always looked for. And it's truly the inner secret of God's mighty purpose for all the ages. It is the unveiling of what God in Christ was for us. It's the unveiling of what God in Christ did for us. And it's the unveiling of what God in Christ is in us, as well as the unveiling of what God in Christ made us. There are days that try men's souls, and Isaiah 36 has a record that I would like to read with you tonight and share with you. It came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, who was king of the two southern tribes of Israel in Jerusalem, that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria was the great world empire at that time, came up against all the defense city of Judah, and he took every one of them. And then the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And Rabshakeh stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the Fuller's Field. And there came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, who was over the house. That means he was the steward for the king. And Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me, the great king of Assyria? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt, all that trusted him. But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away? And said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore give pledges, make an agreement with me, I pray thee, to my master the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders on them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. You see, he came with the same religious declaration that all people do. He said that the Lord had sent the Assyrian army up there. Rabshakeh, just watch this very accurately. It's very beautiful. He said that the Lord had sent him up there. Now, you and I know there are only two. So if the Lord sent him up there, it has to be the different one than Hezekiah had been worshiping. But he was real convinced. He was real sincere. He was right on with what he said. And he said that Egypt was a broken reed, couldn't trust him. Furthermore, he said, if Hezekiah would say that he puts his trust in the Lord, our God, I want to remind Hezekiah that it was he who tore down all the statues that represented God, so there are no longer any God left, because they're all gone. Can't see him anymore. Then said, verse 11, Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, Aramaic, for we understand it, and speak not in the Jewish language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung, drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood. Pretty rough in there, ain't it? Then the Rav Shakey said, and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language, and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah your king deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of the Assyrians." Don't let him tell you this. Don't you listen to Hezekiah. "For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come unto me, and eat ye every one of his vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern." That's something. Promised him everything if they would just make an agreement with him. Give up. Verse 17. "Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Have not I, the king of Assyria, captured every god in every land where we went to? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad, the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of this land that have delivered the land out of my hand? No one. That the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Don't you ever think so. But they, the men who represented Hezekiah, held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Let him talk, but don't talk back at him. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and they told him the words of Rab Shakeh. The rending of the clothes meant very deep hurt, sorrow. Chapter 37, verse 1. And it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it, that he also did what? Rent his clothes. And he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Hezekiah went in the house of the Lord into the temple, but he sent the top men to Isaiah the prophet, and they said unto Isaiah the prophet, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rab Shakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, Isaiah, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, that's Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I'll send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rab Shakeh returned and found the king of Assyria, who was warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish and had gone up to Libna. And he heard say concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, is come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Verse 14, And Hezekiah received the letter, received it from the hand of the courier, hand of the messenger, the man delivering it, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread the letter before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thy eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, gods of wood and stone. Therefore they were able to what? Destroy them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God. Upward, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. The timing of this and how God works with men of God. Hezekiah took the letter in. Isaiah didn't know anything about it, but Isaiah was a prophet of God, a man upon whom the Spirit of God was, and God by revelation told him what was happening. That's why Isaiah sent this message unto Hezekiah, wherein he said, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Israel means one's favorite of God. Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken against him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, small, young, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, lifted up thine eyes on high? I'll tell you, even against the Holy One of what? Israel. One who had no statue. One that was not made of wood or stone. Verse 24. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots, my armor, my ability, am I come up to the heights of the mountain, to the sides of Lebanon. Lebanon. I'll cut down the tall cedars thereof, the choice fir tree thereof, and I'll enter in the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel. I've digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers that besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defensed cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were worshiping the wrong gods. They were as the grass of the field, green herb as the grass on the housetop, as corn blasted before it's grown up. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy pride is come up unto mine ears, therefore will I put my hook into thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I'll turn thee back by the way which thou camest. That's telling him, isn't it? And this will be a sign unto you. You're going to eat this year such as groweth of itself. The second year that which springeth of the same. The third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. It's quite a revelation. And the remnant, the believers, the small amount of people who just stood, that will is escaped out of the house of Judah, shall again take root downward, and they're going to bear fruit upward. Verse 32, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city of Jerusalem. He's not going to even shoot an arrow in it. Nor is he coming before it with shields, nor is he going to cast a ground bank up against the wall so they could go up against the wall and over the top. But, verse 34, by the way he came, the same he's going to go back home, return. And he's not coming into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now people, humanly speaking, this is an impossibility. Because here's the greatest army, the greatest military power of its day, had captured all those lands, including Samaria. Here they were coming up against the city of Jerusalem that only had a small remnant of people, no great warriors, not a great amount of armament at all. It's just humanly impossible. That's why I said earlier, days that try men's souls. Here you have a great one, a great period of time. But God had said, no matter how much armament, how much power he has, I'm going to send him back by the way he came. And I'm going to do it. He didn't say that they were going to do it with the remnant of the believers. God said he was going to do it. And God has a lot of things in store for men who trust him and who believe in him. That's why we're going to be dealing this evening with the heart realities for all believers. This is quite a heart reality for a king when he's really up against it. Remember, he took the letter that he got into the temple, laid it out before the Lord, prayed about it. Hezekiah knew about it. Great days that try great men's souls. Hezekiah didn't feel too good about it. Nor would you or I. And yet here they were confronted with a situation. And Hezekiah chose the one and only route that ever brings deliverance. First of all, he got rid of all the statues and all those devilish things, the groves and everything else that the children of Israel had built previously. And where they worshiped false gods, he got rid of all of those things. And he said, as long as I am the king, we're going to worship God here according to God's word. Now, not everybody in Israel liked that. Many of them did not. That's why it ended up with just a remnant of people, the believers. That's all. Isaiah was in alignment and harmony with God. God gave him revelation. The revelation was sent on to Hezekiah. That must have been a great comfort to Hezekiah's soul to have this word from Isaiah. After Hezekiah had taken the letter in to the temple and placed it before the Lord and prayed about it, then to get word from the prophet, the man of God, must have been a great day in the life of Hezekiah and the remnant of the people of Jerusalem. God said, I'll defend this city to save it for my own sake. And down through the centuries, God has always defended his word. Wherever the truth of that word has been believed and spoken, God has defended that truth and that word spoken. The same is true tonight here at the Way International. The same will be true tomorrow. Wherever there are people who honestly believe God's word and who trust God, God will defend his word and the people who believe that word. Now this is what happened. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's a good night's work. And when they were getting up early in the morning, behold, everybody next to him had a dead corpse. There weren't many left. And so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, left. He departed. He went and returned, and he dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped in the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. A prophecy that Isaiah had declared to Hezekiah and to the people there of what would happen to the king, here comes to pass. The heart realities for believers, people, is really something. Sure, there are days that try men's souls, like Hezekiah here, and the remnant of Jerusalem. But this type of believing, as manifested here, going to God, laying the letter out there, talking to God honestly, having a man of God in a country available to speak to the king, and the king having enough sense to listen to him, are really the great truths of the heart realities for all believers. God called Jesus Christ the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 3, if they did this as servants, how much more must be available to believers today with the unveiling of what God in Christ was, what God in Christ did, and what God in Christ is in us and what God has made us to be. In Matthew chapter 3, listen to this record. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God called Jesus Christ his beloved Son, in whom he was what? Well pleased. God was in Christ, remember, reconciling what? The world unto himself. God in Christ. God said of Jesus Christ that he was his beloved Son, in whom he's well pleased. Today, now, God is in Christ in you. Remember the record in Colossians 1:27, Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a tremendous truth. God was in Christ. Jesus Christ was God's beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. Today, God is in Christ in you, in his Son in whom he's well pleased. People, these are the great heart realities for all believers. The Word of God says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son in whom he was well pleased. God was in Christ. Now God in Christ is in you. That's why 1 John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son, but we are sons of God through Jesus Christ. That is why John 14:12 could declare, the works that I do, ye shall what? Do also. People, what a tremendous time to believe God's Word. With God in Christ in you, with what God in Christ did for you, what God in Christ was for all of us, and what he made us to be. We stand before him, clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And that means without any sense of guilt, of condemnation, inferiority, unworthiness, and so forth and so on. This year of our call to service is not a year of defeat and frustration, it's a year of victory. In God's sight, it's already over with. In God's sight, the victory's already won. It becomes ours as we act upon that literal Word of God. There is no longer an enemy for us to conquer. Jesus Christ conquered the enemy. It's all over with. The fight is over with. The battle's won. There's no enemy to conquer. There's only a race to run. A contest to compete in. It's just like a race is. There's nothing to fight, it's just running. In Hezekiah's day, there was still a fight, a battle to be won. But look at the great heart reality for those servant believers and what Hezekiah, Isaiah, and those men accomplished in that day. Then look at it in the light of your own life and my life. with the greatness of the new birth, Pentecost, sonship. What a tremendous year this must be for us. You see, people, the word to me is just like getting a letter from my Father. It's like getting a letter from God because He isn't right here, my Father. It'd be like getting a letter from my earthly father who wasn't right there with me. So the Word of God to me, people, is like a letter from our Heavenly Father in His absence here upon earth with Christ Jesus. This Word takes the place of the Father in declaring His will to us. This is God's personal will for your life. Most people never get to the place of reading the Word of God as if it's just for you, honey. It is. It is God's personal will for you as a believer. It is His personal will. It's His testament, His covenant. That's what the word testamentum, covenant, means, will. We talk in our culture about the last will and testament of a father. Well, this is God's will. It's His testament. And you've got to get it so you recognize it's personally you He's talking to. In Revelation 3:20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open at the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." That's real personal. If any man, if anyone just opens the door, you open it. God doesn't come and kick it in. He doesn't possess. He doesn't control. He doesn't come in and hit you over the head and say, "Now you have to believe me." But He wrote you a letter. He wrote you a letter. And this is His personal will for your life. I think many times people shrug it off and say, "Well, that's for somebody else." No, it's for you. It's His personal will. If any man open the door, I will come in. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I just will what? Come in. And then I'll do something. I will sup with him, means eat with him, and he with me. That's quite a relationship. You see, in Psalm 91, we read it this morning in our fellowship in verse 2. It said, "In him will I trust. In God will I trust. In him, in God will I trust." So many, many times, born-again Christians do not really trust God. They still trust more in Egypt, so to speak, things in the senses world. Most people trust the banker more than they trust God. Most people have more fear of the IRS than they ever do of God Almighty, as far as standing up and believing God's going to judge in the future. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart." Trust in the Lord. Had Hezekiah trusted in Egypt or in any other great governments of armament and so forth, he'd have gotten beat. Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord. And he laid that letter before the Lord. And he said, "Now, Lord, here's this guy making a fool of you. What you going to do about it?" And the Lord said, "I'm going to what? Put a hook in his nose and I'm going to turn him around." See? He said, "I'll blast him out of here." See? people, we just have to come to the place that the Word of God becomes really real to us. That this is more important than what your best friend would ever say to you, unless he spoke that word. This is God's Word. The one who created the heavens and the earth. This is His Word. It is personal to each one. And boy, when you start believing that and walking on it, then the deliverance comes. And then you see the signs, the miracles, the wonders, and things happen in life you can't explain. Just because you can't explain it doesn't mean it didn't happen. See? How God did this back there in Isaiah, I don't know. I just know He did it. Because history attests to the fact that the king kicked the bucket like the Word of God says he did. His own sons kadinked him.
See?
Well, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And do not lean unto your own smarts, your own understanding. Sure, man has a lot of ability. And he's tempted to go by what he calls his ability. God expects us to use our ability, but you don't rely upon the ability primarily. You rely upon who? God. You put your trust, your believing in God. And you do not lean unto your own understanding. There are always times in life, days that will try men's souls. But it's in those days that try men's souls that you have to lay everything before the Father and just honestly know that it is He who has to bring that deliverance. Isaiah 12:2, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Not be afraid. The first thing the king of Assyria did, endeavored to do to Hezekiah and the rest of the people, is put what in them? Fear. He said, you better give me a present and all that stuff. If you don't, I'm coming in there and tear you up. Tore up everybody else. Their gods didn't stop me. Your God's not going to stop me. I'm coming in. They'll always try to introduce fear into your life. That's always the first thing the adversary will endeavor to do. To introduce fear. That's why Isaiah said, we are to trust in God and not be what? Afraid. And Isaiah 26:3 says, God, He will keep us in perfect peace. He will keep that man who trusts Him in perfect peace. When you have fear, you cannot have peace at the same identical location or moment. I will keep him in perfect peace. And there are many, many promises like this to the believer in the church epistles, but none greater than in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your what? Need. According to His riches. In where? Through whom? Just look at the greatness of that statement. God will supply all our need. This is heart realities for all believers. This is what really man's soul has always longed for. This is the inner secret. The inner secret declared of God's mighty purpose for all ages. That He could have sons and daughters who would believe Him. And who would put their trust in Him and not in the senses world, but in Him. And that He would take care of His children. He would supply all their what? Need. According to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. If you have an earthly father who loves you, And if you had a need, and that earthly father had the ability to meet that need, if he really loved you, would he meet it? Then, people, how much more our Heavenly Father? But you see, the Word has never been real to us. The Word has never literally been the will of God. We believe it with our heads, but in our hearts, we're still so many times leaning on the arm of flesh, the environment, the circumstances, and say, well, I got to do this. God shall supply all your need. God has never lied. God is faithful to His promises. And we, God's people, have to just get to the place that this Word is more than just letters to us. That this Word is in reality God speaking to us as individuals. These are heart realities, heart truths for all believers. They're no more special to me than they are to you. God is special to each believer. And He'll supply our need. So we have to trust and not be afraid. And if we stay our minds on Him, we have that peace. And as we enter into another great year of the outreach of God's Word through our ministry, I am believing that literally thousands more of people will come to the great integrity of this Word, that their lives will be changed, and that they'll literally come to the place of believing with us that this is the Word of God, therefore it has to be the will of God. Okay? Father, I thank You for this wonderful night with Your people here. Thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your goodness. And Father, may this Word, in this wonderful time and day in which we live again, may this Word literally be Your will for our people, that will believe that and just literally walk on it, never doubting. Even though the obstacles all around may look massive, even as it did for Hezekiah, Father, You're still our Father. And You loved us with a love that is indescribable. And Your Son, our Savior, redeemed us completely. And how grateful I am tonight, Father, for this ministry living in our day and time and hour. Thank You for the men and women in whom it is living, and the greatness of the growth of this Word in the hearts and lives of all of our people around the world. Thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.